24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Broadcasting live from Bashani Radio, Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, I would like to thank all of my listeners for listening to me each and every week, and hope the nuggets that we're dropping has been a blessing to your life and that you're running with them to live the best life you can. As I told you last week, it's Black History Month, so I will be spotlighting a Black History figure each week until for the month of February. So today I will be spotlighting Reverend Alfred Shocton. Alfred Charles Shocton Jr., born October 3, 1954, is an American civil rights activist, Baptist minister, talk show host, and politician. Shocton is the founder of the National Action Network. In 2004, he was a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the U.S. presidential election. He hosts his own radio talk show, Keeping It Real, and he makes regular guest appearances on cable news television. In 2011, he was named the host of MSNBC's Politics Nation, a nightly talk show. In 2015, the program was shifted to Sunday mornings. Shocton supporters praise his ability and willingness to defy the power structure that is seen as the cause of their suffering, and consider him a man who is willing to tell it like it is. Former mayor of New York City, Ed Koch, one-time foe, said that Shocton deserves the respect he enjoys among Black Americans. He is willing to go to jail for him, and he is there when they need him. President Barack Obama said that Shocton is the voice of the voiceless and a champion for the downtrodden. A 2013 Zobe Analytics poll found that one quarter of African Americans said that Shocton speaks for them. His critics describe him as a political radical who is to blame in part for the deterioration of race relations. Sociologist Orlando Patterson has referred to him as a racist arsonist, while liberal columnist Derek Z. Jackson has called him the Black equivalent of Richard Nixon and Pat Buchanan. Shocton sees much of the criticism as a sign of his effectiveness. In many ways, what they consider criticism is complimenting my job, he said. An activist's job is to make public civil rights issues until there can be a climate for change. Now, Al Shocton is, like I said, the founder of the National Action Network, and he was one of my mentors growing up. He has no fear, and I was real excited about seeing someone who stand up for people, like you said, that don't have a voice. So in 2005, we established the North Carolina chapter of the National Action Network, and that we were assisting prisoners who had been wrongfully convicted receive their freedom. So I've got to personally meet Reverend Shocton several times and help get some people out of prison that was wrongfully convicted, had been in there a long time. But his activism includes people like Bernard Goetz. In 1969, Shocton was appointed by Jesse Jackson to serve as youth director of the New York City branch of Operational Breadbasket, a group that focused on the promotion of new and better jobs for African Americans. In 1971, Shocton founded the National Youth Movement to raise resources for impoverished youth. Now, going back to Bernard Goetz, he shot four African-American men on a New York subway, two trains in Manhattan on December 22, 1984, when they approached him and allegedly tried to rob him. At his trial, Goetz was cleared of all charges except for carrying an unlicensed firearm. Sharpton led several marches protesting what he saw as the weak prosecution of the case. Sharpton and other civil rights leaders said Goetz's actions were racist and requested a federal civil rights investigation. A federal investigation concluded the shooting was due to an attempted robbery and not race. Now, I had the opportunity to meet Bernard Goetz as well. We were in an elevator together coming from a law office in New York, and that was, I'm telling you, one of the most frightening times of my life to be shut up in that elevator with Bernard Goetz. But I tell you, when that door opened, he flew out of there, and I was, like, praying and thanking God that he didn't have a flashback or anything. Al Sharpton also did the Howard Beach situation on December 20th, 1986. Three African-American men were assaulted in the Howard Beach neighborhood of Queens by a mob of white men. The three men was chased by their attackers onto the Belt Parkway, where one of them, Michael Griffith, was struck and killed by a passing motorist. A week later, on December 27, Sharpton led 1,200 demonstrators on a march through the streets of Howard Beach. Residents of the neighborhood, who was overwhelmingly white, screamed racial epithets at the protesters, who were largely black. A special prosecutor was appointed by the New York governor, Mario Cuomo, after the two surviving victims refused to cooperate with the Queens district attorney. Sharpton's role in the case helped propel him to national prominence. Next thing going on was the Benson Hearst. On August 23, 1989, four African-American teenagers were beaten by a group of 10 to 30 white Italian-American youths in Benson Hearst, a Brooklyn neighborhood. One Benson Hearst resident, armed with a handgun, shot and killed 16-year-old Yushef Hawkins. Now, in the weeks following the assault and murder, Sharpton led several marches through Benson Hearst. The first protest, just days after the incidents, was greeted by the neighborhood residents shouting, "Niggers go home," and holding water menace to mark the demonstrators. Sharpton also threatened that Hawkins' three companions would not cooperate with prosecutor Elizabeth Hawksman unless her office agreed to hire more black attorneys. In the end, they cooperated. And in 1990, when one of the two leaders of the mob was acquitted of the most serious charges brought against him, Sharpton led another protest through Benson Hearst. And January 1991, when other members of the gang was given light sentences, Sharpton planned another march for January 12, 1991. Before that demonstration began, neighborhood residents Michael Ricardo tried to kill Sharpton by stabbing him in the chest. Sharpton recovered from his wounds and later asked the judge for leniency when Ricardo was sentenced. In 1991, that's when Sharpton formed the National Action Network. That's an organization designed to increase voter education, to provide services to those in poverty, and to support small community businesses. In 2016, Boyce Kimball, an associate of Sharpton and a member of his National Action Network National Board, along with businessman and philanthropist Don Vaquero, launched Grace Church Websites, a nonprofit organization that helped churches create and launch their own websites. Again, in 1991, looked like a lot was happening in New York City at that time. The Crown Heights riot began on August 19, 1991, after a car driven by a Jewish man and a part of a procession led by an unmarked police car went through an intersection and was struck by another vehicle, causing it to veer onto the sidewalk where it accidentally struck and killed a 7-year-old Guyanese boy named Gavin Cato. and severely injured his cousin, Angela. Witnesses would not agree upon the speed and could not agree whether the light was red or yellow. One of the factors that sparked the riot was the arrival of a private ambulance, which was later discovered to be on the orders of a police officer who was worried for the Jewish driver's safety, removed him from the scene while Cato lay pinned under the car. After being removed from under the car, Cato and his cousin was treated soon after by a city ambulance without visually Jewish EMTs. Caribbean Americans and African American residents of the neighborhood arrived there for four consecutive days, fueled by rumors that the private ambulance had refused to treat Cato. During the riot, black youths looted stores, beat Jews in the street, and clashed with groups of Jews hurling rocks and bottles at one another. After Yanko Rosenbaum, a visiting student from Australia, was stabbed and killed by a member of a mob, while some chanted, "Kill the Jew and get the Jews out." In 2014, Politico described Shockton as an advisor to President Barack Obama and as Obama go-to man on racial issues. Now, he has Minister Marches for Justice on August 28, 2017, the 54th anniversary of the famous March on Washington, at which Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech. Shockton organized the Minister's March for Justice, promising to bring 1,000 members of the clergy to Washington, D.C., to deliver a unified moral rebuke to President Donald Trump. Several thousand religious leaders showed up, including Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Sikhs. Washington Post columnist Donald Milbank wrote that President Trump has united us after all. He brought together the Al Shockton and the Jews. Now here is Reverend Shockton's political views. In September 2007, Shockton was asked whether he considered it important for the U.S. to have a black president. He responded, "It would be a great moment as long as the black candidate was supporting the interests that would inevitably help our people. A lot of my friends went with Clarence Thomas and regret it to this day. I don't assume that just because somebody's my color, they're my kind. But I'm warming up to Obama, but I'm not there yet." Shockton has spoken out against cruelty to animals in a video recorded for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. He's a supporter of equal rights for gays and lesbians, including same-sex marriages. During his 2004 presidential campaign, Shockton said he thought it was insulting to be asked to discuss the issue of gay marriage. "It's like asking, do I support black marriage or white marriage? The inference of the question is that gays are not like other human beings." Shockton is leading a grassroots movement to eliminate homophobia within the black church. In 2014, Shockton began a push for criminal justice reform, citing the fact that black people represents a greater proportion of those arrested and incarcerated in America. Now, back to Reverend Shockton. Like I said, he's bold. He has no fear. I respect him. I respect his views. And he is one of my mentors that I grew up with. And it has been a pleasure to have the honor of being part of his chapter for the North Carolina National Action Network. Like I said, we helped free a lot of inmates that were wrongfully convicted, and I am glad that he is still going strong in his views and helping people that's less fortunate than he is get to where they need to be in America. Again, highlighting Reverend Alfred Charles Shockton Jr. as a Black History figure for the month of February. Again, this is Linda Monroe, broadcasting live from Boshani Radio, Spotify, iTunes, and iHeart from New York City. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, I thank all of my listeners for listening to me each week. Also, I would like for you to go to my new bestseller is out, Against All Odds, The Life I Should Not Have Lived. Go to my website, www.lindamonroe.com, and order my book. It will be a blessing to your life. Again, until next week, be blessed.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.